Welcome, everybody. We are so excited to have you here today because we have a little announcement.
Yeah, and you probably saw it in the title, but I'll let Janelle break the news to you. But what's happening in our life?
Yeah, we're going to have another baby. So I know probably a few months back, I think maybe it was during Lent, I had mentioned how we were hoping that maybe God would allow us to have another baby. And, you know, it just wasn't happening. And I thought, well, maybe this is just the end. Because I'm 42 right now, so I just didn't really know if God would allow that. And if that was His will, then so be it. And I remember the kids asking us, we have our little family prayer in the morning at like 8:45. And I remember one of them asking, you know, Mom, are you going to have another baby? Mom, are you going to have another baby? And like, they've been asking me this for a while. I said, you know what, why don't you ask God to give Mom another baby? And it was like literally like right after that, that we conceived. And so I just think, you know, however God made that happen, I'm not really sure, but
I think I know.
Anyhow, I'm trying to emphasize that I think the Lord hears the prayers of children.
We should also ask our children then to pray for a new vehicle. Because this is number eight. So our family situation of traveling is we're in a two... Okay, get this. I'm really proud of our vehicle. It's a 2002 Chevy Suburban 4x4, and we need it for that for where we live. And it's a 9-seater. Mm-hmm. And it's got 576,000 kilometers on it. I don't know what that is in miles. It's just a lot. And we're maxed out now.
Yeah, and we can't even push the back seat down, so the kids have to, like, hop over to get to the back, which is fine.
Which is fine. And, you know, and one of the doors is missing a door handle, so you can only go in on one side. The seats don't fold down. It's a lesson of virtue every single time we travel as a family.
Yeah. But it's okay. I like that.
I really love our vehicle. Yeah. But so if we are going to get our children to pray for the next thing, maybe we should ask them to pray for a van. But anyways, great blessing.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell them how we shared it with our family. I thought it was kind of neat.
Yeah. Okay. So I was already starting to feel quite sick, and I was only maybe 6 weeks along, which is very early in pregnancy. And I just felt like I couldn't hide it anymore. And I knew right away, especially the oldest, she would have picked up on it right away that I wasn't feeling good.
She's 13.
Yeah. I was taking naps in the afternoon. And so anyhow, so I just thought, okay, well, I'm going to present to them these three little seeds. So I had three bowls, and in one seed I had, I think it was like a chia seed, like very small. And then I had a sesame seed, and then in the third one I had a lentil, a dried lentil. And I just put it on the table, and I just said, so, what do you think these seeds mean? And then right away our daughter, Christina, was like, you're pregnant. And we're like, yes, we are. So it was basically the extent of that. Yeah. Because I wanted to explain to them that now the baby is the size of a lentil, but last week it was the size of a sesame seed, and the week before it was the size of a chia seed. So it's amazing. Like, the baby is like, the cells are just multiplying so quickly. Like, the rate of growth is tremendous.
Yeah, and you want that with a little baby like that. And after a while, when you get to our size, you want the rate of growth to stop. The joy in our children is something that's a real blessing.
Yeah.
Like, they entered into that moment. They mm-hmm. celebrated with us. They were excited. It wasn't, oh, you know, Mom's having another baby. It was like, yes, we get a sibling. Mm-hmm. And for me to see that is just a blessing. It's a blessing to know that there's another child coming into our family. That, mm-hmm. But also to see the anticipation and excitement of our children.
Mm-hmm. And I can tell, like, they're all trying to help me a little bit more. And they're like, oh, don't hit Mom's tummy. She's got a baby in there. It's really cute.
So how far along are you?
So I'm actually only 10 weeks now. So usually they say, like, the rate of miscarriage decreases at about 12 weeks. You know, but I am considered a geriatric patient at this stage of life.
Translation, what does that mean?
That means, like, an older woman having a child. So, you know, but honestly, I feel really good. Like, I feel in terms of, like, my health and fitness, I feel strong and I feel healthy. I'm grateful for this opportunity that the Lord has allowed us one more soul, you know, for Him.
One of the things that I have noticed about the previous pregnancies is that there's certain smells that, you know, just don't go very well with you.
Mm-hmm. Typically, it's you. You're the smell that doesn't go well with me.
The cause of your discomfort.
Yeah, but I don't find it as bad this time around. But I'm hoping, you know what, usually at around 12 weeks, all those kinds of things sort of kind of ease up. So I'm feeling like I'm almost at the end of this sick phase.
Yeah.
So anyhow, my due date is January 10th. I've never actually reached my due date with any of our children. So I'm anticipating maybe this baby will come around. Did I say June 10th? Yeah. No, that's very wrong. I mean January 10th. Could you imagine? That's like in a year. Oh, oopsie doopsie. January 10th. And so I'm anticipating the baby coming around New Year's. Oh, I was going to say, you know, like for some people, it might seem like, okay, wow, like 8, that's a lot of kids, you know? But I just have to say, like, I feel like the community that we're in, and like, I just, when we go to our parish, I just look around me and I see all these women, you know, just open to life, having babies. Like one of our friends, she just had her 9th baby. And I think they got married maybe 2 years before us. And then my cousin, he just had his 10th, they just had their 10th baby. And they got married 2 years before us as well. And I just feel like in this community, it's like it lends itself very well to being open to life.
and that is very a good point, because it's really important who you spend your time with, because it does shape how you think and your decisions. Mm-hmm. Like we are all influenced in some way by the company we keep. The saints hung out with saints. Mm-hmm. They often came in pairs. So if you want to raise a holy family, hang out with other families who want to do the same. It doesn't mean that you can't have secular friends, but if you want to raise your children in the faith, then spend time with other families who are raising their children in the faith. But if you're spending time with secular families who really have no faith perspective, they're going to have influence on your children. And so we're blessed to have some wonderful families in our life, friends, and we're grateful for their example.
And it's true, like all the little girls at church, like they're just so excited to know that someone else is having a baby. Like if another mother is expecting and our kids find out, they're like, Mom, did you hear that Mrs. So-and-so is going to be having a baby? Like it's just, it's exciting. And we should, we ought to rejoice at new life, you know?
That's the culture of life. When you find out your friends or somebody in the parish is expecting, to celebrate that with them, to affirm that, to rejoice in that, because that is something to rejoice about. The culture is so, it gets it backwards. John Paul II said, we live in a culture of death. You see that even more now, where you have radicalized feminists and environmentalists who say having a child is actually a vice, a drain on society, a drain on the environment. These are lies. What is intended for by God is to be a great blessing is considered a great sin. Don't spend time with those people. This starts to influence how you see your family and the world, and your children pick up on that. Mm-hmm. That's the greatest thing. As an adult, you can weed through that. Children, their minds and intellects are informed yet always to recognize where the lie is. So you want to place them in an environment where they flourish according to God's order. So I do feel like we're really blessed to have wonderful families in our life who approach us and say, hey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think of my parents, for example, like they had 8 children. And in the generation that they lived, like not a ton of people were having lots of large families. Like I just think of the parish that we grew up in, like I don't remember very many families having a lot of kids. So I just think, like, you know, I just want to commend them for that, because that would have been in some ways a lot harder, I think, than us, where it's like very well received in the community that we're in.
And I think we're the exception. I think in reality it's hard to find communities that we're in.
Yeah.
So I know some of you who are watching this and say, oh, I wish I would maybe have had that or have that. You do have to search. And we did. We did search. And we have been blessed.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean you can't have a large family without the proper community, right? If the Lord is calling you, then like, by all means, you should.
And why not be more generous to the blessings that God wants to pour into your life than not? Like, be open to the beauty that God wants to bless your marriage with. And a generous yes to Him. We live sometimes with a minimalistic attitude. Oh, it's going to be expensive.
Yeah,
that's true.
And we don't know how we're going to make this all work, but the Lord does. Right?
That's the thing. It's faithfulness to the moment now. Doesn't mean you don't use prudence, but sometimes we don't make decisions until we have it all figured out. We're never going to have it all figured out. Sometimes we're waiting, they go, how should we welcome another child into our family? You got to calculate this and this and this and this. And until you know exactly how it's going to be worked out, then you'll make that decision. You never get it figured out. I've never got to the end of a day and thought, that went exactly how I thought, especially with our children. So there's an element of trust. When you say, God, I want to be open to every blessing in your life. I don't want to close the door. And God rewards faithfulness. Do you believe that? Do you believe God rewards faithfulness? Some way, oh yeah, only for you, Ken and Janelle. No. God rewards faithfulness to all, period. So we're not sitting here saying, you know, is having 8 children easy? No. But there's it's a great blessing. Blessings don't come without a cross. Jesus taught us that. You want the blessing of eternal life, the ultimate blessing? You have to embrace His cross. So with every blessing, there is a cross. The cross is tailored to our life. God gives us the strength to carry what He allows. And I think sometimes, I think men maybe will struggle with this a little bit more, is that there's a fear of the suffering, the fear of the sacrifice. And that's not of the Lord. Perfect love casts out all fear. And I think especially men, more than women, struggle with that. You see that in the Garden of Eden, where Eve is tempted by the serpent to eat the fruit. My question is, where was Adam? Adam was right beside her. Why? Because when she took and ate of the fruit, she turned to him and gave him the fruit. He was right there. He was supposed to be the protector of Eve, but he was silent. The language that's used for the serpent can also, in the scriptures, can also be translated as into a fiery dragon. So this was an intimidating creature. So Adam failed to be Eve's protector. He succumbed to fear, sacrificing himself for the sake of the bride. And this continues to run within the weakness of men since the fall. It's an inheritance from the fall. We have concupiscence, a tendency to sin, but men, I think more than women, have a tendency to hesitate to lay down their life for the sake of the ones they love and are to care for. So it's important to recognize that, especially when you get married and you're thinking children. Men will say, well, that's going to be hard. That's going to be expensive. I can't go to those all-inclusive resorts in Mexico. I can't get that new 4x4 that I wanted. I can't do this. I can't do all the mountain biking or all the things that I, quote, used to do with the buddies. You didn't get married to hang out with buddies. You got married because this is what God called you to, so that you lay down your life and grow in holiness and love your family and your wife to life. And so if we recognize this hesitancy, especially as men, to be generous and open to the blessing of children out of fear, recognize that fear is not of the Lord. Perfect love casts out all fear. And now that doesn't mean that I don't get afraid sometimes. I have worries. I have anxieties. I'm thinking, man, 8 children?
You're going to be like... almost 50. Sorry, I'll just tell everyone that. I tell everyone he's almost 50, but I think it's amazing. Look how big he looks. It's true.
Maybe I'll just bleep that out when we do it. That doesn't. So I'm just sitting here as a man on a journey, sharing my journey with you, not as an expert, just saying, hey, sometimes I do have fears and anxieties, and I have to recognize those are not of the Lord. Because you can't change what you don't acknowledge. And so that's the first step. You got to acknowledge, hey, sometimes I doubt the goodness of God. Sometimes I doubt his providence, especially when big things like this happen, you know, a child. Mm-hmm. So we have to remind ourselves of the truth. I'm rambling. I'm sorry to ramble.
I like listening to you.
But this comes with the territory that we're in mm-hmm. of eight children. I do feel like we've just kind of, eight, I feel like it's a hump that we got over. Like, I feel like officially we're a big family.
Seven? I felt that at five.
Did you?
Yeah, I felt like five was a big family.
Before we turn off, tell people how many your dad came from.
Oh, yeah. So my dad is the 11th of 18 children, and my mom is actually the 11th of 13 children. So I just think, wow, that's pretty amazing. So my paternal grandmother, she had babies until she was 47. Isn't that amazing? And she had no twins.
So we have a few more years?
One at a time. That's what I always say to the Lord. One at a time. Right. Unless they come in twos, which Ken does pray for.
I always say you might as well have like them all like twos and threes, and then you put them all in the same grade. Make it easier. Large families. That's your history.
Yeah, that's right.
But continue on. What happened with your mom there? That's really remarkable.
Oh, with my mom?
Yeah.
So when my mom was about 3 years old, she was one of the younger ones in her family. Her father died, and so then my grandmother was a widow, and her brother-in-law...
With how many children?
She was a widow with 13 children. Okay. Some of the older ones were, like, adults already, but her brother-in-law then also became a widow. She was a widower? What do you say for a female? I don't even know. Anyhow, she was a female woman without a husband. Female woman. You don't even say that. She was a woman... She was a woman without a husband. You can cut off. Okay, so anyhow, let me
you
start
get the
over.
Point. You get the point. Keep on going.
Okay, so then her brother-in-law was without his wife. She passed away, and they had seven children, and then so they decided to get married. So basically, my grandmother married her brother-in-law, and his seven children became her children. So her nieces and nephews were then now part of the family.
Which makes a family of how many?
Of 21.
I married into this.
Yeah.
Yeah, bigger family than your dad part of 18.
Yeah.
I'm still meeting some of Janelle's cousins.
Yeah, so interesting. You know, every once in a while, someone will just randomly come up to me and be like, hey, I'm your cousin. I'm like, oh my goodness, I had no idea. I'm glad you said hello.
So we'll wrap up. Thanks for watching. Maybe keep the Yazinski family in your prayers. We'd appreciate that, especially Janelle's pregnancy and the baby that we greatly anticipate to be born into this world. Share with us below your thoughts, and we'll see you soon. Thank you for watching. If you've been blessed by this video, would you please consider becoming our monthly Patreon supporter? To support, click the link at the end of this video, also in the description.